the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Lifetime Planning. I'm Aaron Wiegman, and with me is Crystal Colbert with me here today. And today we're going to be talking about student loans, student loan forgiveness, and just bringing you up to date on what's been happening with this whole student debt relief. There's $1.78 trillion of student loan debt in whole. And when you wind up looking at that student loan debt, that's the biggest amount of, you know, personal debt that someone has outside of their mortgage, quite typically. So it is an issue that people have to take into consideration with their personal finances, and one of those things that we take into consideration when we're helping people out with their financial planning. So it's a very common topic that we wind up addressing for our clients as well. So Crystal, why don't you give us a little bit of a background on what's been happening with the federal student loans in the last couple of years?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of changes. So when everything came out and we had this COVID pandemic and they were trying to stimulate the economy as much as possible in an effort to help individuals with student loan debt, they made a big effort to halt individuals from going into default on their loans. So through the CARES Act, they brought the interest rate down to 0% on all federal student loans. And it's been at 0% since March 13th of 2020. So since then, no one's had to really worry about their federal student loans. And the Biden administration just kept extending and extending that 0% interest rate a number of times. So anyone that could afford to pay off some of their loans, all that money just went straight to principal. Or if they wanted to put that money to other uses, you know, they could pay other debts that they had or pay for other things that were, you know, more of an issue on hand.
So I guess two things on that. It was not only the 0% interest, but they halted the payments on, you know, it wasn't necessary to make the payments on the student loans, right?
Exactly. The interest wasn't accumulating, nor would you be penalized in any sort of way for not paying off those student loans for the last 3 years.
So what's going on right now? What's the current status of that? I think we've had some news in the last couple of weeks about what's going on with that.
Yeah. So Biden's goal was to forgive a portion of the student loan debt for each borrower who does have that federal student loans outstanding. So individuals who had income less than $125,000 or married couples who had income of $250,000 or less, the Department of Education was looking to forgive up to $20,000 in student loan debt if they had a Pell Grant. If they didn't have a Pell Grant, then it would be up to $10,000 in student loan relief, which it was actually quite huge because it would have provided relief for up to 43 million borrowers and canceling the full balance of 20 million borrowers. So it was a very big deal. But on June 30th, 2023, the U.S. Supreme Court actually ended up blocking the student loan relief. And Congress had actually, as you know, they were debating on the debt ceiling, one of the things that they stuck in there was there would no longer be any sort of extensions when it came to keeping that loan interest rate at 0%. So as of right now, because of the way that the U.S. Supreme Court blocked the student loan debt relief that Biden's been trying to pass, loan interest rate will start accumulating again as of September 1st. And beginning in October, borrowers are going to have to start repaying that debt that they have on hand.
Gotcha. Okay. So, I mean, that's a big change for people. I mean, especially over the last 3 years. I mean, I know we've spoken to people about whether or not that was going to be a long-term thing, a short-term thing. It was a lot of that stuff that we didn't really know. So we were just kind of making sure that we were at least putting aside those payments. I guess the smart thing, instead of going ahead and spending that onto something else, just frivolously spending things probably wouldn't have been a good idea, but at least like saving that or paying down, you know, more debt that has a higher interest rate or something like that, just being smart with the money that was freed up for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of planning went into it, but as of right now, now it's really coming back. So anyone that does have, I mean, obviously this was only for federal loans. So people who still had private loans, sure, they were still paying that off, right? But now those federal loans are coming back into play. And that is something that people are going to have to start looking into paying again.
Okay. So what's the next steps? What should people do next?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things is obviously check on your student loans if you haven't done so in a while. So log into, you know, Nelnet or wherever you have your federal student loans held at. Check what your balance is if you haven't been paying that off, what your interest rate is, And then if you're unsure of where it's held, maybe you haven't checked in a while, then there is actually a way for you to find out where your loans are held. So if you go to, you log into the National Student Loan Data System and you click Financial Aid Review, you just follow the prompts, input put your FSA ID to log in, and then you can see a summary of your federal loan data and which company it's held with.
I know my student loans had been serviced by a number of different companies, so that like kind of changes hands over time. So you don't really quite know, was I logging into this one or that one? And so if it's been a few years, that's a pretty good resource to be able to see exactly where they're at right now.
Yeah, mine's held at Nelnet, and even that's changed a couple times. Even my private loans actually switched over to Nelnet. So just interesting how things can change. So definitely make sure you're aware, maybe run your credit report too, just to see, you know, where things are held.
Okay. So what are, I mean, if you do have these student loans that are outstanding or about to graduate with student loans, what are some different ways that you can pay them back and maybe help reduce the debt over time?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things is, you know, figure out one, where all your loans are, what the balances are, what your interest rates are, and kind of look at paying down the highest interest rate first, right? It's like almost one of the biggest rules of thumb. Some people, it works a little bit differently. Maybe they want to service, you know, smallest amount of debt first and just pay off each loan.
Kind of that snowball thing that people talk about.
Yeah, the snowball effect. Yeah, where they feel good because they've paid off one loan completely and they're working on to the next. But generally, just from a financial planning point of view, usually paying off the higher interest rates first is one of the biggest things to do, because then you pay less interest over time, right?
Get the most expensive one done first.
Exactly. So you can work with a financial planner, but everyone's a little bit different. So like I said, if it comes down to the snowball effect and you feel better about paying off one debt and then moving on to the next, it's something that we can help you look at, you know, the pros and cons of that. Also, you know, making extra payments. I mean, as of right now, the interest isn't going to start accumulating, like I said, until September 1st. So maybe if you do have some extra cash on hand, maybe you look at paying some of those down a little bit more when, you know, its interest rate is set at zero and it's really only going straight to principal, right? So that's something you can look at too. Otherwise, if you do start making extra payments once the interest starts accumulating again, you want to make sure that you look into how your student loans take on those extra payments. Because like with my provider, it actually goes first towards any sort of interest, then to fees, and then to principal. So just make sure that it's going where you want. Usually people want to pay off just completely to principal if they're making extra payments, but just know exactly where it's going if you're going to make those extra payments. If you're struggling with how much extra your payments are going to be, you know, with your budget, with all your other things that you have to pay for, you can look into income-driven repayment plans for federal student loan. So it'll kind of restructure how much you owe each month. And generally, it's as low as about 10% of your discretionary income, which is huge. You can also look at consolidating the federal loans. So that way you just have, maybe you have four federal student loans and you just want them into one. So you have one payment, one due date. You don't have to worry about multiple. You can always consolidate the federal student loans.
No, the key to that part, make sure that you're doing it with your provider who's going to, instead of going to a private place to do that.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Because we know where student or where interest rates are right now. And you're probably not going to get much of a better rate just given how high rates have been. But I mean, you can look into refinancing privately. Maybe you get some steal of an interest rate, right? That it makes sense for you. But you have to also know that if you do refinance to a private from a federal, there are certain things that you're going to actually give up.
Such as the income-driven repayments and such.
Yeah, exactly. You'll never be able to reverse back to a federal student loan debt forgiveness plan. Also, a lot of the things that like you saw when there was financial hardship, right? When we went through the pandemic, I mean, the federal government was able to take those interest rates from whatever they were back down to 0%. So you didn't have to worry about paying off that debt. Whereas private, nothing happened with private. You were still responsible for paying whatever that was, right? So you have to look into that. That couldn't happen. If you did have it in an income-driven plan, there's actually loan forgiveness. So once you've made the repayments based off of what type of plan you're on, within 20 to 25 years, anything that's remaining would actually be forgiven. That doesn't happen with private loans. And then especially if you're somebody that works in, you know, government or nonprofits, that public service loan forgiveness It's actually, they've really revamped that whole system and I've actually seen it work for people now. So that's one of the big things that you would also give up if you were to reconsolidate to a private loan versus the federal.
I have a few clients and even friends and people who've done that with that public service loan forgiveness, you know, working at a nonprofit, you know, be able to get master's degrees and, you know, just knowing that they're going to work for 10 years and know like the forgiveness that winds up coming after that. So that's been really beneficial for them to be able to go on and get that extra education and just know that there is an end date to that.
And what's nice too, I mean, you have to be very diligent when it comes to that program because every year they require you to file paperwork and every year you have to, you know, make sure you're keeping up with it. But what was nice is when, you know, you didn't have to pay back that student loan debt. You didn't have to even make payments. It was at 0% interest. Those still counted towards whatever, you know, 120 payments you have to make in order for your student loan to be forgiven. So it is a great program. So it is something to take account for. I mean, if you're going into a field like that, or you do have access to that public service loan forgiveness program, just make sure that you don't go to private because otherwise you are going to be paying.
And I guess just make sure that if that is like your intent, make sure that your I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and those payments have been counted towards your 10 years that you have. So when you look at the income-driven repayment plans, give me a little bit of a breakdown of what those look like. I guess you don't have to go into like super detail, but just like in general, what do those look like?
Yeah. So if you're struggling with paying off each month, whatever your standard repayment plan is, because generally it's over the course of 10 years, there's a set fixed amount. And then over those 10 years, you pay it off completely. If you're having troubles, then you can go into one of these income-driven repayment plans. One's called Pay As You Earn Repayment Plan. There's IBR, which is an income-based repayment plan. And then ICR, which is Income Contingent Repayment Plan. And all three of these, basically, your monthly payments will be anywhere from 10 to 20% of your discretionary income when you apply for it.
So if your discretionary income.
Exactly, your discretionary income. So most of the time, these plans, at least with the payee and IBR, they're actually going to be lower than your monthly payment for the standard repayment plan. The ICR, income contingent repayment plan, sometimes can be above that standard repayment plan. So you want to be cognizant of what that looks like just because it is 20% of your discretionary income. But just in general, the ICR will be higher than the payee or IBR monthly payments. So just be cognizant of which one you actually go into.
Really better repayment plans for certain people, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And all of these repayment plans, they are going to be, you know, a bit longer. So you probably will pay more over time when it comes to paying interest, paying, you know, you're going to pay for a longer amount of time. So most likely it is going to end up being more than what the standard repayment plan is. But if you're someone that is struggling to pay off your debt, you're definitely going to want to make sure that your payments are easier on you at the time.
So it stretches out the payment, but it makes it more palatable as far as what you're doing on a monthly basis right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And then if you're really struggling, there is a new payment plan coming, which is called the new SAVE plan. So it actually replaces one of the existing income-driven repayment plans, the repay plan. So revised pay as you earn plan. So it's actually going to provide the lowest monthly payment of any income-driven repayment plan. It is based off of, you know, your discretionary income. And generally speaking, depending on what that income or what your income is, you can pay as little as, you know, $0 a month, or any borrowers just in general, if you don't have, you know, too low of income, it's expected that each borrower will save at least $1,000 per year compared to any of the other income-driven repayment plans. So definitely something to look into if you're struggling with any of these federal student loans, just something that you can look into when it comes to going into an income-driven repayment plan.
Okay. And so what are some advantages to doing the income-driven repayment plans?
Yeah. So it basically does lower your monthly payment to a reasonable amount that's a little bit more palatable for you. It allows you to save for other things like retirement by paying off your student loans at the same time. So you'll have access to pay, you know, save towards retirement and pay off your student loan debt at the same time. I mean, generally, I'm a huge Roth proponent, but if you are struggling just as far as paying off your student loans and saving for retirement, if you do make pre-tax retirement contributions, it lowers your AGI, which is what the income-driven loan repayment plans are based off of. So something that you can really look into is, you know, saving for retirement, lowering that AGI, and then also, you know, being in an income-driven repayment plan and having lower payments each month.
And I guess that's a good thing to talk to a financial planner about, so that you can say, how do we put this all together? Instead of just like really looking at this one decision that you have to make, kind of look at all of it in the big picture.
Exactly. Yes. And then the other advantage to the income-driven repayment plan, or just in general, paying back your student loans is, if you, depending on what your income is, right, you can actually, any interest that you paid towards your student loan debt can be used as a deduction on your taxable income of up to $2,500. So sometimes it is kind of nice to pay back that debt and, you know, pay off that interest, because you do get a little bit of a deduction up front. So
there you go. So there's the advantages, but what are the disadvantages?
Yeah. So it's just important that, even given that you are getting that reduced payment over time, the increased amount of interest that you pay over the life of the loan is going to be more, just because you're paying for a longer time, you're paying that interest off. So a lot of the time, sometimes paying down the loan with the reduced payment is kind of a negative, because you're going to be paying more in interest just in general, and just more over time. So it is something to take into account for, depending on what's happening.
Great for your current cash flow, but maybe not great for the overall cost of the loan.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
With all of that in mind, the changes to the student loan debt and like the non-forgiveness that's happening right now, what are some good tips that you might have for someone who's about to enter into college, or, you know, I guess whether they're entering into college or they've taken on this debt and now they're like leaving college at this point in time, what are some good tips that you might have for someone there?
Yeah. So it's going to be really important. You can, one, work with a planner, but looking at the cost of education and what loans you're looking to take out, right? How much is it going to cost to go to whatever, you know, out-of-state school or in-state? What looks better, right? What is going to be the total cost of your education? What have you already saved? What do you have, you know, maybe in a 529, whatever the case may be, and see what you're going to have to take out as far as loans are concerned. And, you know, is the student that, you know, if you're the student, if you're taking on that debt, are you going to be comfortable with the amount of debt that you're taking on? Or is your parents going to be taking on that debt? Is the parents going to be paying off that debt? So definitely something to really look into, because I know what my dad did for us was he basically had us take out all of our student loans, and we just watched it accumulate. And he told us, if you don't get a 3.5 or higher, you're paying off all this debt. So it was really a motivation to do well in school, right? So we didn't have to pay off the debt. But it is something we did actually, he did leave us with one loan each. And I say we, because I have a twin sister. So that was fun. So I still have one to pay off. But either way, he did pay off the rest of it, because we did get over 3.5. So,
but I guess that is good when you wind up looking at that and saying, what could the potential cost of that loan be when we leave school? And based on the type of education and job it is that I potentially could be getting, is that a reasonable payment that I'd be comfortable paying? You know, sometimes when people kind of, I guess, compare this to the types of loans that you see coming out of college, you know, would you let your kid go out at age 18 and just finance a Ferrari? You know, so I guess, you know, in the same light, you have to say, let's look at this reasonably and see what kind of debt we'd be comfortable, like what kind of a payment we'd be comfortable paying after this is all said and done with.
And also, one other big thing to note is just, you know, if you are the student and you are taking on the debt, what career, and even parents working with their students, I mean, look into the career paths that you're looking into and what that salary may be expected to be. And is that going to cover the costs of the loans that you're pulling out? Like, is that student going to be able to pay back those loans based off of the salary that they're going to be making in the future?
Well, thanks, Crystal. I think this is pretty beneficial and timely for everyone as you're looking at what's happening with student debt, you know, the background as to you know, I guess the overall debt that people have outstanding. You know, there's not going to be that repayment anymore, but just kind of understanding what possible options someone might have to help with that repayment, and then some good advice going forward as far as like how to at least like frame that, right? And if anyone has any questions about student loan debt, college planning in general and how that incorporates with your financial plan? Because I mean, when you wind up looking at these things, you can't just look at it as one particular decision that you're making there that isn't really going to be touching all the other stuff that you have in your life. So you have to look at that big picture. Otherwise, you could be doing yourself a disservice too. So Crystal, if someone does have any questions for you, how do they wind up getting a hold of you?
Yes. So they can email me at crystal.colbert@financialsense.com, or they can call me at the office at 858-487-3939. And Aaron, if they wanted to get a hold of you, how would they get a hold of you?
Sure. It's the same number. It's the 858-487-3939. And you can reach me at aaron.wiegman@financialsense.com. Thanks for joining us here today, and we'll see you next time.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.